life is better. It's got more purpose, more fulfillment, and more blessings with Christ than with the world. I guarantee you that. And today I want to try to encourage your faith in Christ Jesus. He's a great Savior, and I appreciate Him. Daniel chapter 6 this morning, your Bibles, please. Daniel 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I want to preach today on the topic. It's kind of a different topic or different title for Thanksgiving, but we'll intermingle that with it. And I want to preach today, staying normal during the imposed new normal. Staying normal. How do you stay normal when we see things changing and they keep on talking about a new normal? And I don't think I've ever been normal. I've never been accused of that. So I'm not sure if I have the answers this morning, but the Bible does. Daniel 6, please. Look at, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. And I want to read to you, this is a story, or the account, rather, of Daniel in the lion's den. And so for the sake of time today, I just want you to read with me together. Let's all, we'll read all together, verses number 10 and 11. Are you ready? Verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and in his windows, being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Of course, you know, in verse number 22, when they, of course, said they threw Daniel in the lion's den, they had to, king had to keep the law. So they threw Daniel in the lion's den for praying. And a stone was brought out and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. Of course, then the king, who was friend to Daniel and loved Daniel, spent all night fasting and praying for Daniel. He comes, the morning comes, and he goes out to the lion's den to see if Daniel was still alive. And verse number 22 says, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, and that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocent was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel being taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them in the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Pretty fantastic account. By the way, this is not a fairy tale, or a myth, or a Walt Disney movie. Now, this is real life stuff, and God delivered Daniel. But I want to look at today how Daniel kept his normal in a new normal. Father, help us today, I pray. Lord, would you bless, Lord, our time together. Encourage hearts, speak to hearts, Father. Lord, I pray for your will to be done in this place. And Lord, if there be any that's not saved today, that have not received Christ as their Savior, been born again, Lord, Spirit of God, today, please, we pray and ask that you would move in this place. Help Christians today strengthen our faith, we ask in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Staying normal during the imposed new normal. Of course, so we all know the spikes in numbers with the coronavirus, the different things that different states are doing. And I just want to say this in introduction, that life is constantly changing. And as we, as people, we're not always good at change. Now, sometimes people say that they are, but really we're not always really good at change. And may I say today that not all change is bad. Not all change is bad. I like the change of indoor plumbing. I like the change of electricity. I like the change of automobiles. And, you know, my grandparents drove horse and buggy when they were younger. I like the change of automobiles. I like the change of telephones. I appreciate that. So not all change is bad. I like the better hospitals that we have and the better medications that we have compared to days of old. So when you refuse to change or to adapt to change, you may very well get left behind. and miss out on some good blessings. But I will say this on the other side of the coin, not all change is good. Not all change is good. And we are seeing a systematic effort to change truth in history, in our own country. Truth does not change. Regardless where you are in your journey in life or with the Lord, truth does not change. The Bible and truth remains the same. God remains the same. God never is going to change. What God loved yesterday, God loves today. What God called sin yesterday, God calls us sin today. Truth does not change. Morality does not change because God is the God of morality and righteousness and holiness, so that won't change. So there are some things that will not change. And so there are some traditions that I believe should not change. Now, traditions, I mean, always be scriptural. I can always preach those things to me and this, thus saith the Lord, but there are some traditions that I think should say the same. I like Sundays being the Lord's Day. I like that. I like people coming to church on Sunday, getting together for church on Sunday and at the 10 o'clock hour, 11 o'clock hour, and by the way, coming back at the 6 o'clock hour. I like church on Sundays. And I like holidays being spent with family. And I know that we live in a day and age when people travel quite a bit and families are separated and kids go off to college and then move away to different states. And can I say this morning, I understand that, but I don't like it. I like tradition. I like it. I grew up and holidays were at grandpa and grandma's house and all the aunts and uncles would come out with the cousins. I like that tradition. I just like that tradition. I think it's important for families to be together. I like eating supper at a table with each other. I like at least once a day, a family getting together and making a meal together and pulling out the kitchen table and sitting there and turn the TV off and the devices and the cell phones off and just sitting and having a meal together. I like those traditions, and some of those traditions should not change. And so we see change. 2020 is not the first struggle America has experienced. Now we, as this generation, we say this is unprecedented. Really, if you look at history, it's really not unprecedented. America has faced some great struggles. The founding of America was a great struggle. That was no picnic, the founding of America. And the greatness of America has been built through struggles and through hardships. There are great personal losses during the Revolutionary War. When America said, we want our freedom from Britain. We don't want to be imposed upon. And by the way, you know, you say what you want to say. The founding forefathers revolted against Britain for far less than we are putting up with today, that's for sure. And there were some real men back there in those days. And something about McDonald's or Hardee's have bred men out of us, I think. And if you're like Pat or like Brother Victor, too much soy in the coffee. Okay, that didn't go over very well either. It's true. America was devastated during its Civil War. And I'm glad for the Civil War for the most part. But think of the devastation that America faced during that dark hour. When brother fought against brother, family against family. The nation was divided deeply on the subject of the power of the states, the power of the federal government, and of slavery. And America fought to free slavery, and that all men were created equal. And there are some great things about America. By the way, say what you want to say about, you know, let me say this about this whole slavery thing and Black Lives Matter. I think all lives matter. Red, yellow, black, and white. But America is one of the first. Listen, slavery has been a hit part of man's history from the very beginning. There have been Chinese slaves and white slaves and European slaves and black slaves. And you think of the nation, there's been slaves. In fact, in some countries today, there are still slaves. And America was one of the first nations that said slavery is against God's plan. And you look at it and you read about history in America, the Democrat mafia was one of the first ones to try to keep slavery in place. And Bible believers, one of the first people to stand against slavery. And that's just something that I want you to just throw in there today for your benefit. Think about the families that struggled during World War I and World War II. That was unprecedented. Think about what they went through. America was deeply divided in my early years during the Korean War and the Vietnam Wars. America was greatly divided in those wars. America has experienced diseases, dust bowls, depressions, droughts, and disasters. And so this is another one that we've experienced. And so it's not really unprecedented, just something new to most of us. And so in these times, bad men with bad politics have always used suffering of America to push their wicked agenda. This is not the first time America has fought communism and socialism. It's been on the horizon for many years that we fought against communism and socialism, even among our own people. And so Christianity has also endured suffering and struggles and persecutions. And so we're really a generation that's really experienced some great liberties and freedom when it comes to Christianity. The Old Testament prophets were mocked and scorned and persecuted. Think about the New Testament apostles and the disciples. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified. James, the brother of John, was killed with a sword. Thomas was killed by a spear. Philip was put to death. Matthew was stabbed to death. Bartholomew was also a martyr. James, the son of Alphaeus, was stoned and then clubbed to death. Simon was killed. Thaddeus was killed. Mathesis was burned to death. And John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos and said to be dipped in hot oil. And so Christianity has suffered great persecution for generations, and we have experienced suffering. Christians have been have suffered cruel mockings and scourgings, bonds and imprisonments. The Christians were stoned and sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And every generation has experienced struggles and hardships and change. And there have been new normals more than once in the history of our world. Daniel lived at such a time. Daniel lived during difficult times. During the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, conquered Judah and devastated Jerusalem. Because of Israel's sin against God and their idolatry, God allowed the Babylonians to come in and conquer Israel and tear down the walls of Jerusalem and ransack the temple. And during this time, families of great royalty and of prominence were taken out of Judah and Jerusalem and taken into Babylon, where they were forced to serve the king of Babylon and their families. That would have been a new normal. As these men and women seeing their fathers and mothers slain. The Babylonians were no kind people. They're ruthless and savages. So now Daniel was taken captive during this time, and he's taken into Babylon, and there he is forced to serve the king of Babylon, and Daniel's normal was completely changed. But Daniel was one of those Hebrew children that rose to a position of favor under King Darius. He behaved himself wisely, and he rose to a great position of favor. And Darius favored and loved Daniel. King Darius, under his reign, divided his kingdom into 120 provinces, and over those provinces, he established 120 princes over those areas. Over those 120 princes, Darius established three presidents to rule over those 120 princes, and Daniel was one of those three presidents, and he was highly favored and was actually number one among those three presidents, 120 princes. And because of that, Daniel was despised. He was not liked by the other presidents and the other princes of those provinces. He was despised, and so he faced a difficult decision. He was not liked by the others because of his position, because of his favor, because of his nationality, who he was. He was not liked. And so they thought to ruin Daniel. These men that were princes and these princes, they thought to ruin Daniel, but they could not find anything wrong with his integrity or character. Look with me at Daniel chapter 6, verse number 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. What does that mean? It means Daniel was a man of integrity and character. He's a faithful man. Whatever the king had given him to do, Daniel did it faithfully. Under this new normal, Daniel behaved himself wisely. And he honored his responsibility. He honored the king, but he also honored God. And so these men hated him for it. So they said, listen, we can't find anything wrong with Daniel. He's a man of integrity. He's got character and integrity. He doesn't lie. Doesn't cheat. Doesn't steal. He doesn't abuse others. He's not a violent man. So we can't find anything wrong to accuse him of or to degrade him. And so we must then find something wrong with Daniel concerning his faith in God, his, if you will, his religion, his Christianity. So they thought to ruin him that way. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:16, it says, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. They wanted to accuse Daniel of his faithfulness to God, to find evil against that. They wanted to promote evil and despise that which was good. I wrote this down the other day. The insanity of the wicked man is thinking that the promotion and favor can be gained by the elimination of the righteous man. The progressive left thinks that the unity and utopia may be achieved through the elimination of good, of the good, and the promotion of evil. It is not the righteous man that condemns the wicked. It is the law of sin that condemns the wicked. If there was an absence of faithful and godly men, wickedness would still be condemned to fail. That's just the law of sin. And these men thought that somehow if we can make Daniel's good evil, we'll get promoted. We'll be exalted. So they sought occasion against Daniel, and they did that by seeking to blame him about his religion, his faithfulness to God. So what did they do? They went to King Darius and said, listen, King, you're a great king. And you're a wise king, and you're a powerful king, and look at your kingdom that you have built for yourself, and we want to make a decree for 30 days that no man can petition any of their gods except for you. We want you to be as God and rule over us. And so make it a law that no one can petition their God for 30 days. And anybody that does is in danger of being thrown in the lion's den. Now, they had a law there called the law of the Medes and Persians, which means this. Once a king signed a decree into law, it could not be altered or changed until its termination. It had to be. It wasn't like the laws of today that can be manipulated and changed depending on who's in power. It had to be carried through. And so the king signed this law, this decree into law, and now it was against the law for the next 30 days to petition anybody except King Darius. And look with me at verse number 9. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now here's my thought today. Daniel, his normal is being challenged. His faith is being challenged. They said, listen, there's a new normal now. Though they took him from his kingdom, from Judah, and brought him into Babylon, and they changed the way he dressed, and they even tried to change his diet, they even tried to change who he worshipped and who he served. They said, listen, Daniel, there's a new normal now, Daniel. What are you gonna do? Now they're gonna attack his faith in Christ, faith in God, and even how he prays. They wanted to give him a new normal. So how did Daniel maintain his normal and impose new normal? I want you to see some things here about this. Under this new normal, Daniel maintained some things. There was a normal that Daniel would not give up. Number one is this: Daniel maintained his faith. Daniel maintained his faith. Verse number 10 says in the last part, and prayed and gave thanks before, watch it now, his God, as he did aforetime. Praying was Daniel's normal. Serving God was Daniel's normal. Having faith in God was Daniel's normal. And though they said, you can't pray and you can't have faith, Daniel did not change or alter his normal. He maintained his faith before his God. Daniel rejected the gods of the day. The Babylonians were full of gods and sun gods and moon gods and star gods and all kinds of false gods. So Daniel said, listen, I'm going to maintain my faith in the God of Israel, the God of my fathers. And not only is he the King of kings, Lord of lords, but he's my God. He's my God. Daniel rejected the approval of men. Didn't need their approval. He rejected the worship of man. Wasn't there to worship the king. Though he honored him and he did the best he could to serve him, he wasn't there to worship him. Daniel chose to serve the God of heaven and that he would be his God as well. So this morning, how do you maintain a normal under this new normal? Maintain your faith. Maintain your faith. Faith must be personal. The Bible says that Daniel prayed to his God. His God. We find that in verse number 23 says, because he believed in his God. It was a personal faith in God. Faith must be personal. Personal faith does not create your own version of who God is. Personal faith accepts and believes in the God of heaven. I accept to believe God for who God says he is. We can't make God in our own image. We can't make our own God and say, this is what I believe about God. We must let God say who God is, and faith must be personal. Maintain your personal faith. In this day and hour, when they're all around saying, listen, don't go to church and don't be careful, and don't witness and don't knock on doors. We must maintain our faith in God. Faith must be personal, but it must be a priority. It is not life, then faith. It is not convenience, then faith. It is not my job and my hobbies, and then faith. It is not my family, and then faith. It is not political correctness, and then faith. It is not science over faith. It is not my reasoning, my logic, or my wisdom, and then faith. Faith must be first. Daniel's faith was first. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. And so we know that we are saved by faith in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Not only are we saved by faith, but we're to live and we're to walk by faith. And faith must be a priority. You see, life does not determine my faith. Faith determines my life. My opinions don't determine my faith. Faith determines my opinions. My beliefs don't determine my faith. Faith determines my beliefs. My priorities don't determine my faith. My faith determines my priorities. My politics don't determine my faith. My faith determines my politics. One of the biggest lies perpetrated by the wicked is that God must be absent in our government. If you believe that, you've been indoctrinated by communism. The only way that the government of America will ever work and be successful to all men of every color, of every nationality, is if God is in our government. Now, they say, preacher, what about separation of church and state? That clause says this: the government cannot force a one world church or a one state church. That's what we fled from. We fled from a one state church where they said, listen, if you are not part of the church, then you're going to be persecuted and killed. We wanted freedom from that. But if you read our founding forefathers, they never wanted to leave God out of our government. And so faith, by the way, you say, well, preacher, we can't have, I have a young person that I know that is adamant about this. But you say, well, there must be a separation between church and religion, or between state and religion. You know that atheism is a religion?
That's right.
You see, your faith of anything determines your politics. And so when the wicked man gets in office and says, well, we're going to put God out, see, that's their faith talking. That's their faith talking. And so my faith determines my politics. Daniel maintained his faith. Can I encourage you today, in this day and hour, to maintain your faith? Let your faith be priority and personal. Preacher, what do we do? Let your faith in God determine that. Daniel said, I'm going to pray as I did aforetime. I'm not changing my faith because the law says you can't pray. I'm not changing having church because the law says, the government says, if you have church, you don't like your grandma. Listen, I'll wear a mask. I don't like that, but I'll wear a mask. It's not a mask. A mask does not impact my faith. Now, I want to fight against it if I can, but I'm not going to stop having church. I'm not going to stop praying. Okay? Maintain your faith. Number two is this. Daniel maintained his service. He maintained his service. We find that in verse number 10 it says, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Daniel maintained his service. When the government said, you can't pray, Daniel prayed. When they decreed, Daniel, if you pray, you're going to die, Daniel prayed. When they threw Daniel in the lion's den and sealed it shut, Daniel rested. Let me tell you something this morning. Do you think that Daniel was not somewhat afraid? We have this idea that somehow these Old Testament saints had no fear. That somehow they just, you know, were invincible and they know they never had any doubts or never had any fears. That somehow they were superhuman. They were flesh and blood just like you and I are flesh and blood. And no doubt when they said, Daniel, if you pray, you are going to cast in the lion's den. When Daniel went home that day and faced that window and began to pray toward Jerusalem, no doubt he thought, this could be the last time I ever pray. But I'm not stopping serving God because the wicked government says you can't serve God. So I preach it, you know, this idea that we can't have church because it doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It's not kind. Do you think it made sense for Daniel to go home and pray? See, the average Christian today would have said this, Daniel, just don't pray for 30 days. 30 days, you can go back to praying again. Just stop for 30 days. That makes sense, does it not? But it's not faith. It's not honoring God. It's not being faithful. Daniel maintained his service. Daniel chose to live by faith rather than live by fear. Say, well, he didn't have any fear. I bet you he had some. If he was like anybody else, he had a little bit of fear. Listen, I don't think it's going to happen today. Well, if they said today, if we find you praying in your place, in your house, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. And when you pray, do you think you'd have a little bit of apprehension? You might look out the window first, like, okay, who's watching? Close the blind, maybe a little bit. One of those quick, you know, when you go out, you know how you pray when you go out to eat? You drop a neck on the floor, Lord bless us with amen, and you pick it back up, and let's eat, you know? Maybe it's kind of, you know, you knelt before the window, you know, Lord bless my day and help me, amen, and go about your business. So Daniel faced this apprehension, this fear as well. But he chose to live by faith and serve God rather than live by fear. I'm not making light of today's situation. But I said, you cannot let fear and what might happen dictate your faith. Is life so dear that we will let it dictate our faith in God? It's amazing. We really don't believe there's a heaven. Because if we live there's a heaven, we wouldn't live so much in fear. So Daniel maintained his service. This service was born out of love and fear for God, the desire to obey God. For generations, faithful Christians have chosen to obey God rather than corrupt governments, even when threatened with imprisonment, suffering, and death. Number three is this, and I'll hurry along. Daniel, by the way, these evil men found Daniel praying. They didn't find him stealing, lying, cheating, murdering, violence, or looting, or rioting. They found him praying. What will the wicked man find you and I doing? What will God find us doing? Number three, Daniel maintained his patriotism. Verse number 10 says he prayed toward Jerusalem. His windows were toward Jerusalem. Though Daniel was in Babylon, Jerusalem was still his home. Jerusalem was a place where God met with his people. And Jerusalem was a temple. It was a center for all spiritual activity. So Daniel maintained his patriotism. I'm not afraid this morning to say that I'm glad to be an American. I'm not ashamed to be an American, nor am I ashamed to be white or a male. I didn't have a choice in any of those matters. God did. God chose me where I was born. He chose my color. He chose my gender. I'm not confused about any of those three.
Amen.
Okay? Never have been confused. Never have woke up wondering, is it a bad thing to be white? Is it a bad thing to be a male? No. That's how God made us. God made two genders, male and female. And that's how God designed it to be. That's what it's supposed to be. And we're to, listen, I'm not saying this. Listen, if you're a woman, be proud, be happy you're a woman. Don't be confused about it. God's got a plan for you. He made you that way specially. He made you that way special. Listen, this morning, if I was Chinese, I'd be happy to eat Chinese. America's not this evil, wicked empire. And being a white male is not an evil, wicked thing. And being white is not a bad thing to be. And so Daniel maintained his patriotism. Not only do I love America, I love being a Christian. You know, though I'm American, this world's not my home. I'm simply passing through. Heaven is my home. It's where my citizenship belongs. Hebrews 13:14 says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." I'm glad for heaven. A place prepared by Jesus Christ himself. He's preparing a place for me. And so now I can be patriotic toward heaven. I can thank you that I'm a Christian. You see, heaven's a place where God will be our God, and God himself shall be, and we shall be his people, and God himself shall be with us, and will be our God. And there in heaven there'll be no more tears, and no more sin, no more corruption, and there'll be no more death or dying. It's going to be a perfect place, without corruption, without fear, without disease or troubles, and so I'm glad I'm a citizen of heaven. And so if I leave this world, I'm not afraid. I'm going to be resurrected again.
Amen.
And so Daniel maintained his patriotism. Number four, and lastly this morning is this. Daniel maintained his thanksgiving. Look at verse 10 with me again. Now get the entire picture here. Daniel has watched his people in Jerusalem a few years earlier be slain and slaughtered and brutally murdered. He's seen the walls of Jerusalem torn down and temple ransacked. He's been taken out of Jerusalem and into Babylon to serve a wicked empire. Now he's being threatened with death in the lion's den. The Bible says this, and Daniel prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In the midst of this imposed new normal, Daniel gave thanks. In a foreign land, under a new normal, Daniel gave thanks. With the promise of death looming over his head, Daniel gave thanks. You see, your situation doesn't determine your thanksgiving. Preacher, I can't be thankful. Yes, you can be thankful. You can be thankful. Listen, I don't like wearing a mask, but I can be thankful. I don't like seeing people die, but I can be thankful. I don't like churches being devastated and faith being shaken, but I can be thankful. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. You see, God is worthy of thanks. Regardless if we're in a foreign land, regardless if we're under a new normal, regardless if we're being threatened with a possible death or a possible disease, God is still worthy of being thanked. Regardless of our financial situation, how much money we have or clothes that we own or how good our cars may or not be, our job situation, God is worthy of thanksgiving. And God said, listen, don't worry and don't fret and don't be careful, but pray and petition God and give thanks unto God. So today we stop and we give thanksgiving this time of year. I love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. Many of Thanksgiving, I think, again, we see it being attacked. This new normal, this situation with the coronavirus, I understand that it's a real thing, but it's really the wicked have taken and used their agenda to really attack the traditions and the wholesomeness of our country. Thanksgiving. Thinking about Thanksgiving this morning for a bit. where we came from, what was done for, what was done for us. And by the way, you know, most people under the age of 20, they've been told a pack of goods about where we came from. The American history of what I was growing up is not being taught in schools today. But I'm thankful for Thanksgiving. See, the meaning of Thanksgiving is not football and beer. I know I'm not manly, but I've not watched sports in years. I just don't care for it. No, I'm not against it. If you watch it, that's your choice. I'm not your God. But I think that sports has become a god in America, become an idol. And folks rather watch sports and play sports and go to sports activities than they would serve God or go to church. I think it's hypocritical for a sports player to make millions of dollars, work, play sports on Sundays, beat and rape women, then kneel on a kneel on a field and give thanks to God for a touchdown. It disgusts me. And that's my opinion. May not be correct, but it's my opinion. Thanksgiving is not about a 4-day weekend. Thanksgiving is not necessarily even about family and a meal together. The meaning of Thanksgiving is giving thanks to Almighty God for His mercy and grace and provisions. That God was merciful to provide for us, provide for this nation, provide for us. And by the way, Hebrews 13:15 says, "By Him, therefore, let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." God is worthy and deserving a sacrifice of praise. That's not your money or your time. It's thanksgiving. God, thank you. God, thank you. I am thankful today for the family I was raised in. Thankful for that. I'm thankful for a dad and a stepdad and a mom and a stepmom. I'm thankful for what I went through. I'm thankful for a grandpa and grandma who are godly and love the Lord. And made sure that we were in church and put us in a Christian school. Took us to vacation Bible school, Sunday school class, picked us up Sunday morning, brought us to church. Thankful that they prayed for me and for my family. I'm thankful for the family that God has given me. For my wife of 30 years, who's loved me and taken care of me and encouraged me and stood beside me. For the 4 boys I have, I'm thankful for my family that God has given me. I'm thankful for the church I grew up in. Thankful for the church that I grew up in that was fundamental, independent, and Baptist, and preached the book, and preached salvation, and preached Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. I'm thankful for the standards that they had, and for the sacrifice that they had, and the school that they provided for us. I'm thankful for the church that I was raised in. I'm thankful for the America I grew up in. I'm thankful for, as a young boy, I was raised in small town America. A small town with this main street occupied by a grocery store, a hardware store, a barber shop, and a post office, and a full service gas station. A farm town surrounded by fields of corn, soybeans, oats, and hay. A community where the countryside was decorated with windmills, farm tractors, and cattle. I'm thankful that my school day started out with a Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer. God was a creator, and evolution was a myth. Our playgrounds had high swings, jungle gyms, monkey bars, and merry-go-rounds. In gym, we climbed ropes to the ceiling and played dodgeball with real rubber balls. We could ride our bikes anywhere in town without fear of violence or predators. Supper was eaten with family. We stood at a table without flat screens, iPads, and cell phones. In fact, in my day, the phone was taken off the hook and set beside the phone. It's not to disturb supper. And prayer was offered before every meal. Sundays were the Lord's Day. Businesses were closed and people went to church. Sunday afternoons was lunch at Grandpa and Grandma's house and time spent with uncles and aunts and cousins. Lunch would be roasted potatoes with banana pudding and Kool-Aid and a few cookies. Grandma and ladies would wash the dishes and talk in the kitchen. And Grandpa and the men would read the paper and snooze in the living room. The cousins would play football and baseball and tag in the front yard in the afternoon. In the America I grew up in, married people lived together and stayed together. Children were wanted and not aborted. To be gay was to be happy. And there was no gender confusion. Boys went to the boys' restroom and girls went to the girls' restroom. You never heard of being transgender, binary, or fluid. Your dad was a man, your mom was a woman, and anything else was spoken in secret and hushed tones and was considered to be a sin. I'm thankful for the miles on my bike delivering papers, the hours on hay wagons, baling square bales of grass and alfalfa, or spent in a barn cleaning pens and stalls. I'm thankful for the long days of walking beans, shelling corn, or the solitary times on John Deere 630 mowing hay. I'm thankful for the America I grew up in. I'm thankful for the ministry God has allowed me to serve in, a church family that loves God and loves one another, and there's unity here. I'm thankful for the blessings and provision that God has provided for us. Think of the song that we sang this morning, Count Your Blessings. It says, when upon life's billows you are tempted, tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all that's lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ of Calvary. Amen. When there's a new normal being imposed, how to maintain your normal? I think one of the key things is just being thankful. You see, wickedness and rebellion begin or seeds that are planted in the soil of unthankfulness. What America needs right now is some thankful people and thankful Christians. You see, you must choose what will be your normal. You must choose which God you will serve. The God of the Bible, the God of a new America, the God of religion, or the God of the Bible, the God of heaven. You must choose what kind of church you will serve your God in. A church that stands faithful to the old, to the truth, or a church that's constantly compromising to what might be relative truth. You must, young folks today, you must choose the America you will live in. You must choose today what kind of America you will live in. This morning, lastly, is this. I'm glad that Jesus Christ chose Calvary. Think about that. He left his normal, took on a new normal. He took on our flesh. He became like sinful men. He didn't live to be 75 or 80 and live in retirement, enjoy his retirement, and enjoy traveling and motorhomes and vacations to Florida and any place else. He didn't enjoy a big home or fancy cars. He didn't enjoy big families. He came, and as a man of 33 years old, he chose Calvary. He chose certain death because he chose you and I. Amen. He chose to love sinners. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become righteous as in Christ Jesus. And so Christ today, he chose not just America. He chose every nation. He chose every color. He chose every man and woman, every child. He chose to die for their sins, that they might be born again and saved and have a home in heaven and be righteous and have everlasting life. Today, Christ chose Calvary. He chose torment. He chose death. He chose the grave, that you and I might be freed from our sins. Today, will you accept Christ as your Savior? Say, preacher, I'm not sure today if I died right now that I'm saved, that heaven is my home. My friend, this morning, Christ chose Calvary. He chose to die because he wanted to choose you to have everlasting life. He loved you. And though he might have chose death, he also chose to be resurrected by God's power. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered the grave. We might have everlasting life. And it's not by good works that we're saved. Not by being religious, by being baptized, by being a Baptist or any other denomination. It's by being born again, by receiving Christ as a Savior, that a man or woman is born being saved. Amen. Today, he said, preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now where I'd be. Can I ask you this morning, would you come to Christ and choose Christ? Would you, by faith, receive Christ your Savior? Today, if that's you, when the music plays in just a few minutes, I'd ask you to come to the forefront. We'll take the Bible from God's Word to show you how you can be saved. Today, Christian, let me ask you a question. If Christ chose you, would you choose Him? to serve Him, to love Him. In this day and age when they say, listen, we can't find anything wrong with those believers. We must find it in how they serve their God. Would you maintain your normal? Maintain your faith? Maintain your service? Maintain your patriotism? Maintain your thanksgiving? There might be a few things. My life, listen, life has changed. Listen, I can't believe in my lifetime things. I'm only 50. Things I've seen changed in 50 years is mind-boggling. My normal has been changed many times in my life. But there are some normal things, some aforetime things that ought not change. Well, today we come to You, Father, in closing. We thank You, dear God, for Your precious Word. And today, help us, I pray, to be thankful. Thankful, Father, to a great God that loves us in the midst of imposing change, or that You do not change. And God, I pray You'd help us to maintain our faith, Father, our thanksgiving. Lord, bless today, I pray in Your name. Let's this morning stand together. As we stand together this morning, say, Pastor Mass, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm not sure for a Bible reason, heaven's my home, that my sins have been forgiven. Today, would You come? We won't embarrass You. You're not coming to join the church. So just come and say, Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. We'll take the Bible from God's Word and show you how you can be saved. Don't leave this morning not knowing for sure. What a tragedy it would be for you to walk off those doors and say, I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'll do it when I'm getting a little older. Walk out those doors and never have an opportunity again to receive Christ as your Savior. Say, would You come? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Say, would You come? Today, have you let life, the struggles of life, the failures of life, the hardships of life, change your normal, change your faith, change your service, change your thanksgiving? Have you let hurt, disappointment, or anger, or unforgiveness change your walk with God? Today, would you come and say, you know what, I don't care if I go to the lion's den, a fiery furnace, or a cross. I'm going to maintain my faith in my God. I'm going to be thankful. In this day and this hour, I'm going to be thankful for things that God has done for me. Today, would you come and offer that sacrifice of praise to God, sacrifice of thanksgiving. Today, you come. Living a life of secret faith has never changed the world. Changing our normal because of pressure or a pending fear of death never changed the world. But when Daniel chose to pray and was cast in the lion's den, the impossible was taken, the impossible by God was achieved. A miracle took place. Daniel remained untouched and unharmed. And that changed Babylon. That changed that king. Secret faith has never changed the world, a rock, a country for the cause of Christ. It's always been Christians who say, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to maintain my faith. Will it make America great again? Not whites being ashamed of being white, but when whites become Christians. Will it make America great again? Not blacks being better than whites, but blacks being Christians. Will it make America great again? Not men trying to be women, but men being Christians. Not women trying to be a man, but a woman being a Christian. These are the things that are going to change America, not the evil being promoted today in our society. So maintain your faith. And your faith, though it may be under persecution or fire, your faith will change a country, will change a family. And you read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three evil children, said, King, we're not carefully answering this matter. If we get thrown in the fiery furnace, God will deliver us. But if not, we'll still not bow to your God. When God delivered them, the king Nebuchadnezzar said, these three Hebrew children, their God will be our God. So America will change once again when they see the God of heaven through God's people, not cowering, not backsliding, not living a life of carnality and mad about everything and quitting everything, but being faithful to faith and thanksgiving. Amen.